Heat Seekers, welcome to episode 150 of Sully's Two Cents Fantasy Football Podcast. I am your host, I am Rob Sullivan. The Sully's Two Cents Fantasy Football Podcast is a proud member of the Roto Heat family of podcasts. When I started this little solo podcast, I really had no idea what I was doing. And if you don't believe me, do a little Google search for episode one. Now, my buddy Kevin Kloss put me on to Audacity, and with the help of some YouTube tutorials, I managed to limp through an episode, and Sully's Two Cents was born on SoundCloud. With the help of Roto Heat founder Rick Butts, I was provided this little thing called an RSS feed, and boom, this very podcast was available pretty much anywhere podcasts can be found. So here we are, episode 150. Now, 150 episodes is an accomplishment that I'm proud of. After all, these 150 pods are part of the 700 pieces of content I have had the pleasure of putting together since joining the Roto Heat team back in June of 2018. That 700 pieces of content was a shameless plug and a bit of a self-brag, if y'all didn't pick up on that. I love to write. It is and always will be my first love, and I've had folks that follow me tell me that it shows. I appreciate those kind words. I'm not sure if you all know this or not, but all 150 episodes of Sully's Two Cents Fantasy Football Podcast are scripted. It's important to me that I sound like I know what I'm talking about, and the scripts force me to research the data that I share. I hope that you've enjoyed the previous 149 episodes of this podcast and my written content at rotoheat.com, and I hope that you continue to enjoy these podcasts and that content as well. All right, so a few things to kind of clean up and talk about, get off my chest as we get ready for the full slate of week one in the 2021 season. The Baltimore Ravens. Like, what the hell is happening in Baltimore? Now, I'm not a doctor, and if you took one look at me, you'd know that I'm not a strength and conditioning coach either. But man, whatever the plan is in Baltimore, it simply isn't working. The number of injuries in camp thus far have been ridiculous. Sammy Watkins, Rashad Bateman, Miles Boykin, Marquise Brown have all either been injured or currently are. Bateman, Boykin, and tight end Nick Boyle all enter the season on IR, and the earliest we will see any of them is in week four. The running back situation, well, it's beyond bizarre. Now, you can't blame the staff for Gus Edwards' torn ACL or Justice Hill's Achilles tear. These are unfortunate injuries that can happen to anyone, to say the least. What bothers me with the J.K. Dobbins injury is the circumstances in which it happened. Someone, anyone, please explain to me why the hell J.K. Dobbins was playing in week two of the preseason. Do we really think he needed the work? Was the organization wondering if he was going to make their team? Or was the organization focused on winning a record 20th straight preseason game? Regardless, he have never should have been out there. And this injury is catastrophic to not only the Baltimore Ravens, but to J.K. Dobbins' fantasy managers as well. So Dobbins, then Hill, and the latest Edwards, all gone for the season. The lone survivor in Baltimore is 2020 undrafted free agent Tyson Williams. The Ravens have added Le'Veon Bell, Devonta Freeman, Trenton Kenyon, and most recently, Latavius Murray. The way I see this playing out is Williams is the lead back on Monday night in Las Vegas, and he should be a start in your lineup, most likely in your flex spot. The rest are all on the bench. One of Bell, Freeman, Murray, or Cannon are likely going to be released soon. Now, it most likely won't be Cannon because of his play on special teams, and it won't be Latavius Murray because he's the best of this bunch. Bell and Freeman are on the bubble. And we shall see how this shakes out. My money is on Bell getting cut. He is not exactly comfortable without regular touches, and he has no problem telling people that. Nobody needs that type of distraction on their bench. The Dallas Cowboys looked pretty damn good on Thursday night. The defense, especially to me, looked much better, especially against the run game. A healthy Leighton Vander Esch certainly helps, and man, rookie Micah Parsons sure looked fantastic. Now, the secondary still blows, and the question will remain whether or not the Dallas Cowboys should have used their first-round pick on Micah Parsons or someone like Patrick Surtain. Who knows? The reality is that secondary most likely haunts the Cowboys for the remainder of the season. Now, the offense, with one exception, was exactly what I was looking for. Dak Prescott looked a little bit shaky early, but finished strong and moved around well on his surgically repaired ankle. The receivers were good, CeeDee Lamb's drops notwithstanding. Amari Cooper showed people like me that he is still the wide receiver one in his offense. Lamb looked great, and no, the drops don't concern me. Michael Gallup looked good prior to injury, and Cedric Wilson looked good when given his opportunity to fill in for the injured Michael Gallup. The run game was brutal. Now, against Tampa Bay, that isn't overly surprising. This is, after all, the league's best run defense from a year ago, and they brought all their starters back. Ezekiel Elliott had 13 touches, 11 of them were on the ground. He totaled 39 yards in total, 33 on the ground. Tony Pollard had 3 carries for 14 yards. Now, I'm not going to overreact here, but I'm certainly going to be paying closer attention to Week 2 and the Cowboys' trip to LA to face the Chargers. Now, the Cowboys' opponent, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, did what I thought they would. Tom Brady was Tom Brady, the pass catchers were good, and the run game was horrific. Don't worry about Mike Evans. There's going to be games where one or two of the Bucs receivers have a down week. There's simply too many good passing options for Tom Brady to choose from on a week-to-week basis that not all of them are going to be fantasy relevant. The running backs, however, are a different story. Now look, Ronald Jones may very well be a good running back, but as long as he is in Tampa, I don't think we're going to find out. His confidence is shattered, and he runs scared. And he often runs right into the back of his blocker. Ronald Jones fumbled yet again. He was yet again stapled to the bench. And in my opinion, Rojo needs to watch next week in street clothes. Leonard Fournette changed his number to 7, and it turns out he's the same old Leonard Fournette regardless of the number on his back. Ineffective on the ground, a circus in the passing game, and somehow, it turned out, he's the best back on the Bucs. Giovanni Bernard needs more touches. And I'm speculating that his ankle was not nearly good enough to take on more work in week one. What is extremely telling is Gio was the back on the field at the end of the game during the Bucs' most important drive. He was there because Bruce Arians trusts him, and likely, more importantly, Tom Brady trusts him. There are good things to come for Giovanni Bernard in 2021. All right, so episode 150. Today, I just kind of want to talk to you about navigating your way through the first 4 weeks of the fantasy season, and I'll talk about some start sits for week one as well. Now, whether it's a redraft league or a dynasty league that you participate in, the first 4 weeks should be treated like boxers treat the first round. Get a feel for your roster. Get a feel for your league. Trust your draft and let it play out. Don't get caught up in matchups early in the season. You likely drafted based off someone's rankings, your own rankings, or your platform's ADP. If you did, barring injury, you'll be fine in the first 4 weeks of the season. You might not be 4-0, but I don't think you're going to be 0-4 either. Strange shit happens all the time in fantasy football. And it's important to note that it happens to all of us. Do not overreact to Ezekiel Elliott's poor performance on Thursday. And also, don't overreact to Rob Gronkowski's performance on Thursday. Start your best players, likely the ones you drafted in the first 8 to 10 rounds, and you'll be just fine. Be active on your league's waiver wire. And most of all, have fun. This is a game that many of us, myself included, take too seriously. If you participate in a guillotine league, and you should, as it is, in my opinion, the best format fantasy has to offer, well, a guillotine league is a different duck altogether. For those of you unaware of a guillotine league format, it is an 18-team league in which the lowest scoring team each week is chopped, and their entire roster hits the waiver wire. So if you started Ezekiel Elliott and got 5.9 PPR points, or Giovanni Bernard, like I did, and got 3.2 points, or even worse, perhaps you started OJ Howard and got none at all, you should be concerned. But not all is lost, but you certainly can't be overly comfortable entering Sunday. All right, before I get into my starts and sits for this week one, just kind of wanted to chat with you all about a little bit of the written content over at rotoheat.com. You will notice that there is daily content coming out from players to stream, players to start. We have articles from Sean Coffey dropping the top 12 at each position each week, which is a collaborative effort from some of us on the Roto Heat team. We did some preseason predictions for the season. We'll have some weekly winner and loser picks. And I will be dropping a Monday night, Thursday night, and Sunday start sits throughout the season. So if you're looking for a way to get an edge on your opponent this year, head on over to rotoheat.com and check out all the great written content that this amazing team has been putting together. All right, so let's take a look at week one. I'll start off with my start of the week, and it is Philadelphia Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts. Every season, we seem to have a quarterback emerge as a fantasy breakout. In 2018, it was Matt Ryan. He finished QB2 overall. In 2019, it was Lamar Jackson. We all know what he did. And a season ago, it was Justin Herbert. In 2021, I believe that that quarterback is Jalen Hurts. And it all starts week one versus the Atlanta Falcons. Hurts scored 19, 22, and 26 fantasy points in his first three starts against New Orleans, Arizona, and Dallas in 2020. And Hurts steps into a terrific opening matchup under new offensive-minded coach Nick Sirianni in week one. Atlanta ranked 32nd against the quarterback in 2020. They allowed 4,918 yards and 34 touchdowns through the air, and another 347 yards and 6 touchdowns on the ground. Jalen Hurts has the ability to exploit both areas on Sunday. Atlanta, on average, gave up 24.4 points per game to the quarterback last season, and I am looking for Hurts to go over that number in week one. Some other quarterbacks to consider in your starting lineup in week one. Start Ryan Tannehill against the Arizona Cardinals. Since taking over as the Titans' starting quarterback in week 7 of 2019, Ryan Tannehill is the 6th highest scoring quarterback in fantasy football. He has averaged 23 completions, 247 yards, 2.1 touchdowns, and 0.4 interceptions per game. In addition, he has averaged 3 carries for 17 yards and 0.4 touchdowns on the ground each week as well. That adds up to an average of 21.58 points per week. Arizona was decent against quarterbacks last season with 19.9 points allowed to the position. This season, Tannehill is an upgrade at wide receiver in Julio Jones, a new offensive coordinator in former tight ends coach Todd Dowling. As a result, I am expecting more passing volume out of the Titans this season, as they still employ one of the worst defenses in the league. I'm also starting Sam Darnold against the Carolina Panthers. Now, nothing like a little revenge game to kick off your season. In week one, that is exactly what awaits Carolina Panthers quarterback Sam Darnold. Darnold, as you know, was traded from the New York Jets to the Carolina Panthers in exchange for a 2021 NFL sixth-round draft choice, plus a second and a fourth-round pick in 2022. In three seasons in New York, Darnold finishes QB 27 again, and QB 30. Since entering the league, Darnold is top 4 in the NFL in terms of interception rate at 3.2%. He's behind only Jameis Winston, Nick Mullins, and Ryan Fitzpatrick. So now I'm guessing I haven't quite sold you on the start yet. Allow me to continue. Fairly certain that we can all agree that Darnold hasn't exactly been good for fantasy. We also likely agree that he is due a second chance now that he has escaped Adam Gase. He is set up to succeed in Carolina with a solid offensive coordinator in Joe Brady and the best receiving weapons he's ever had. Do I think that Sam Darnold is the second coming of Ryan Tannehill? Not at all. But I absolutely see him sticking it to his former team that last season allowed 23.3 points per week to the opposing quarterback, third worst in the NFL. And a look at a couple of quarterbacks to sit this week. Sit Jameis Winston of the New Orleans Saints. Now, Winston did win the quarterback battle in New Orleans, and he will be starting once again. Winston has some of us thinking that he can duplicate some of his high TD, high interception fantasy relevance of 2019. Perhaps he can, but Green Bay's pass defense is legit, and New Orleans should want to attack heavily on the ground in a neutral site game. In addition to the Packers' defense challenging Winston's ceiling, Sean Payton will as well. Winston may have won this job for the Saints, but I can pretty much guarantee you the quarterback Taysom Hill isn't going anywhere. He will still be involved, most likely in the red zone. And until I see what the Saints' offense is going to look like, I'm avoiding Jameis Winston and leaving him on my bench. Another quarterback that I'll be sitting this week is Tua Tagovailoa of the Miami Dolphins. Now, this game looks like it's kind of going to be a fun one as it pits two former Alabama quarterbacks against each other, as well as pitting Bill Belichick and Brian Flores head-to-head once again. I fully expect Tua to have a better season than he did as a rookie. His weapons have improved, and he's yet another year removed from his serious hip injury. I would anticipate that this is one of the lower scoring contests, with most of the offensive attack coming on the ground from both teams. There'll be plenty of weeks that you can feel comfortable starting Tagovailoa. Week one, however, in my opinion, is not one of those weeks. Moving on to the running back position. Nearly my start of the week this week is Jacksonville Jaguars running back James Robinson. Robinson finished last season as RB7, and he only played in 14 games. James Robinson averaged 17.9 PPR points a game. His success was mainly due to volume. James Robinson had the highest percentage of team carries in the league, 71.2%. Entering 2021, his volume will remain high due to the season-ending injury to Travis Etienne. The matchup in week one is fantastic as well. Houston stinks. They surrendered a league-worst 2,206 rushing yards and 20 touchdowns to running backs last season. The 31.8 fantasy points allowed weekly to the running back position was second worst only to the Detroit Lions and their 32.2. If anything, Houston may have a worse run defense this season than they did a season ago. Robinson, although I don't expect him to see a workload like he did in year one in Jacksonville, is a running back that I'm starting with the utmost confidence. I'm also starting Raheem Mostert of the San Francisco 49ers. So the San Francisco 49ers backfield will be a committee as long as Kyle Shanahan is leading this offense. The lead back in the committee, though, will be Raheem Mostert. When Mostert is healthy, he is an extremely productive fantasy running back. In week one, Mostert is healthy and the Lions defense is brutal. No team gave up more fantasy points to opposing running backs in 2020, and the Lions have done little to change that this season. The Niners should blow the doors off of Detroit this Sunday, and as a result of the game script, should be favorable for plenty of carries. Start Raheem Mostert with confidence, and if need be, start Trey Sermon here as well. Looking at players that I'm going to sit. And I'm going to sit Javonte Williams of the Denver Broncos. Now, he's a fan favorite and a favorite of mine. I've been a fan of Javonte Williams since we started watching film this offseason at rotoheat.com. Williams is the type of back that can do everything well. I do believe that Javonte Williams should evolve into an every week starter this season, but I don't think that's the case in week one. Melvin Gordon is still going to command a larger share than we want him to. And the Giants' run defense is kind of sneaky good. Williams is a great asset to roster. You're just going to need to be a little bit patient with him and sit him in week one. I'm also sitting DeAndre Swift of the Detroit Lions. Now, Lions head coach and notorious kneecap biter Dan Campbell gave DeAndre Swift the green light for their week one matchup with the aforementioned San Francisco 49ers. The fact that he is healthy is great news. The fact that the Lions face the Niners is not. The matchup isn't ideal, and the fact that he's missed so much time in training camp with a groin injury leads me to believe that we will see a lot more Jamal Williams than DeAndre Swift. Game script likely won't help Swift get on the field either. In a game where you are most likely blown out, it makes more sense to ease Swift back from injury than it does to give him a large workload. He's a sit until I can get a better feel for his health and how the Lions are planning on deploying their backs in 2021. Moving on to the wide receiver position, we're going to start Robbie Anderson of the Carolina Panthers. We use the revenge game angle for Sam Darnold, and we're going to use the same damn angle for Robbie Anderson as well. What a better way for Darnold to get his revenge than to target his former Jet wide receiver early and often on Sunday. Robbie Anderson had a nice season last year in Carolina, 95 catches, 1,096 yards, and only 3 touchdowns. He is set to get a nice start to 2021 with an upgraded quarterback and a very beatable opponent. The Jets secondary is weak enough to think that Robbie Anderson will be busy catching passes from Sam Darnold with plenty of big play touchdown upside. I'm also starting Jacksonville Jaguars wide receiver Laviska Shenault. So who's going to end up as the Jaguars' top fantasy receiver in 2021? In my opinion, it's Laviska Shenault. Shenault will have to share targets with DJ Chark and Marvin Jones, but with both receivers battling injuries, Shenault should be the favorite option of Trevor Lawrence in week one against the Texans. Chenault started to heat up towards the close of last season, putting up 15 PPR points in three of his final five games. Houston's defense shouldn't be a problem for Chenault this week, and he should be considered a starter in week one with confidence. Looking for some wide receivers to sit, I'm going to start off with Kenny Golladay of the New York Giants. Kenny Golladay missed a lot of playing time last month with an injured hamstring, so he's had limited time to build chemistry with his new quarterback, Daniel Jones. Now, Kenny Golladay himself said he thinks the Giants could have a slow start on the offensive side of the football. Not exactly what you want to hear from him if you're his fantasy manager. He's going to be tough to trust in the first few weeks, so I'd prefer that you don't. I'm also sitting rookie wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase of the Cincinnati Bengals. Now look, before you all come at me on Twitter, Ja'Marr Chase is going to be a very good wide receiver in this league. I have very little doubt of that. Chase is one of the best wide receiver prospects we have seen enter this league in recent memory. With that being said, he's not going to be in any of my starting lineups in week one. Chase didn't play last season, and he's been struggling to knock the rust off his game. Add in that his quarterback is coming back off a major knee injury and hasn't played since December. Now, with T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, and Joe Mixon almost certainly to be targeted ahead of him, and the possibility that he's going to split some snaps early with wide receiver Auden Tate, I don't see a path in which he starts this week. The good news is there will be plenty of weeks in his career when he will. Now let's wrap this up with a look at the tight end position. I'm starting Tyler Higbee of the Los Angeles Rams this week against the Chicago Bears. Higbee's 2021 season shapes up as being a rebound from a rather disappointing 2020 campaign. Higbee is now the unquestioned top tight end after Gerald Everett's departure to Seattle, and Matt Stafford's presence is clearly an upgrade over Jared Goff. The Bears allowed 12 touchdowns and the second most fantasy points to tight ends last season, so I'm going to start Higbee rather confidently and see him as a low-end tight end one this week. I'm also starting Logan Thomas of the Washington football team. Logan Thomas is coming off a big season that saw him finish third in fantasy points among tight ends. He's in a favorable spot to open his campaign on a high note as the football team faces the Los Angeles Chargers, a defense that allowed 7 touchdowns and the 6th most fantasy points, 16.4 points per game, to the tight ends last season. With Curtis Samuel on IR, look for Thomas to see 6-plus targets in this week's contest. If he goes 4 catches for 60 yards, Thomas is the top 12 tight end. He is easily a start for me this week. And a couple of tight ends I'm going to sit. I'm sitting Noah Fant of the Denver Broncos. Fant's been limited in the final few weeks of camp due to a leg injury, and that is the driving force behind my call to sit him in the opener versus the New York Giants. Overall, I'm quite a fan of Fant, as I have him ranked inside my top 10 this season. I just fear that the Denver Broncos are going to limit his snaps and his targets. Denver has plenty of viable options that they can deploy to handle the New York Giants. Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, KJ Hamler, and the running backs Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams can shoulder the load and allow Fant to ease his way back to 100%. I'm not expecting Denver to throw a ton either in what I expect to be a positive game script for them and the majority of their game coming on the ground. I'm also sitting Jared Cook of the Los Angeles Chargers. Now look, Cook is the new number one tight end for the Chargers, and hopefully he can continue to be that touchdown-dependent, low-end, number one fantasy tight end in all of our leagues. I'm sitting Cook against the football team this week. Washington, they have a great defense, in general, and they should be tough on the tight end position. Washington gave up 2 touchdowns to tight ends in the final 12 games last season, after allowing 5 of them in the first 4 weeks. I also have concern that the Chargers' tight end Donald Parham sees enough snaps to make Cook an afterthought. Don't go dropping Jared Cook, but don't go starting him either. So that's going to do it for today's episode. Thanks for tuning in. Now, before I go into my usual ending to the podcast, I just wanted to talk a little bit about September 11th. Now, I do my best to avoid any type of political or controversial topics on this show. I absolutely have my opinions on all of those. But out of respect for you and respect for my RotoHeat.com team, I keep those thoughts to myself. When it comes to September 11th, I believe it's different. I believe that we were all victims of a horrible tragedy. Now, being from Canada, it's a little bit different than those of you living in the United States of America. My heart goes out to all of you, especially those that lost friends and family in this horrific event that was 20 years ago today. I questioned whether or not I should put a podcast out on this day. And in the end, I decided to continue and move forward with this episode. The men and women of our military on both sides of the border fight for our freedoms and our rights as citizens of our great nations, and that enables me to put out this episode today. So I want to thank you all for being here. I want to thank you all for being here for part of the 150 episodes. If this is your first episode, thank you so much for being here. But please take some time today to reflect, to hug your loved ones, and remember that life is precious. And please, for heaven's sakes, be good to one another. Now, if you've yet to subscribe to the Sully's 2 Cents Fantasy Football Podcast, you can do so by searching for it pretty much anywhere podcasts can be found. In addition, you can find me on Twitter at Roto Heat Sully, and I'm in both the Roto Heat Dynasty Fantasy Football community and the Roto Heat Redraft Fantasy Football community on Facebook. And if you're on our Discord server, you can find me at Sully. I'm going to be back next week. We'll probably recap week 1. We'll talk a little start-sit week 2. I'm kind of feeling my way for how I'm going to navigate through the 2021 NFL fantasy season. The regular season is here. We're a game in. And if every game is like it was on Thursday, this is going to be one hell of a season. But regardless, have fun with this. Enjoy the season. Football is back. It's what we've been waiting for. I'll be back next week. Until then, stay safe, stay healthy, and take care.